Our Heavenly Father, today as we meditate on the seven words of the cross, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our Lord and Father. Amen. The first word is taken from Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. What is Jesus saying in his last hour? Jesus is saying a prayer, a request to God Almighty. It is remarkable, however, that Jesus isn't asking for himself. I would be terrified and overwhelmed, trying to desperately retain my composure. My prayer would probably be, God, help me. If I could utter any sounds at all. But Jesus' prayer is one of complete unselfishness. He is concerned for the people who are responsible for crucifying him and is asking God to forgive them. Instead of thinking of himself and his own needs, he is thinking of those whose souls are in much greater peril than his own. The first thing I learn from this word is love. At his last hour, Jesus loves. Let us think about the word Father. In this prayer, and look at the alternatives. God is a generic word for deity. Lord is a term of respect and honor for one who is exalted in rank. Almighty God would be a little formal, but expresses God's great power. Creator God is a common substitute for Father, but not a term of relationship, rather one function and awe. Father, on the other hand, is first and foremost a term of relationship and endearment. It is a family term spoken within the family circle. It was often expressed as Abba, which might correspond to our dad or papa or appa, or however we called our daddy, as I called him papa or daddy. In Mark 14:36, Jesus had used this intimate word as to address his father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before, his prayer reveals a gentle love for God himself. At the moment he begins the long course of death through a lot of pain, he speaks in love to the only one who can deliver him, who is God himself. In this prayer at his last hour, Jesus addresses the God of the universe with the simple term, Father. And he also invites us to do the same. In Mark 6:9, when Jesus' disciples ask him how they should pray, he gives them a model prayer that begins with, Our Father. By beginning this prayer with the word Father, Jesus expresses at the same time a love and confidence, a trust, one who simply calls Father, who knows him, trusts him, and is confident in his outcome. Then the prayer goes, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Who are them or they for whom Jesus prays? Let us see. He could be praying for the Roman soldiers who routinely put men to death on the site of Golgotha. They destroyed human life brutally without compassion, but they didn't initiate the action. They had no choice. They were merely following orders. It could have been the soldiers he was forgiving. But it might be Pilate. Pilate may have been a better candidate. However, against all law, he had given the order for the crucifixion. He had found Jesus innocent of the crimes with which he had been charged. Yet the pressure of the Jewish leaders and his fear of a riot forced him to go against his own better judgment. He signed the death warrant and he publicly washed his hands. The double-faced act of a self-serving politician, desperately to hold on to power. Perhaps Jesus was forgiving Pilate for the weakness of his character. Or was it the chief priests and the scribes who were the prime force behind the crucifixion? Once Jesus has cleansed the temple of their greedy trade in animals and money changing at outrageous exchange rates, they were determined to kill him. In Matthew 21, 26 and 27, behind the scenes, they had paid off Judas for his betrayal, sent temple soldiers to arrest him in the Garden of Gethsemane, tried to get people to testify falsely against Jesus, brought his case before Pilate, and stirred up the crowd to demand that Jesus be crucified. It may have been the chief priests and scribes that Jesus was forgiving, or was it the Pharisees or the Sadducees, who were his early enemies? Jesus' plain teaching about the kingdom of God offended them both. In Matthew 22:23-34, the Sadducees sought to discredit him. In Matthew 12:14, the Pharisees were the first to actively plot Jesus' death. It might be the Pharisees and the Sadducees who were the recipients of Jesus' plea for mercy. But it was for you and me. When you think about it, we are the real ones that sent Jesus to the cross. Our weaknesses, our sins, our corruptions, and our pettiness. Jesus is under no illusions. He knows why he has come to earth. He explains it with utmost clarity to his disciples in Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You and I made the cross necessary. We are the ones he prays to forgive. Did we know what we were doing? Are people forgiven only if they don't know what they are doing? Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. Does God hold those who put Jesus on death responsible for their sins? Oh yes, he is a just God. They had seen Jesus' miracles and heard the truth spoken by the Son of God himself, and yet sought his death. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. What I learned from this first word is that God is merciful, far more merciful than any of us deserve. Yes, each of us has plenty enough sin to condemn us, but God is looking deeper. He has made a way that we do not deserve. Jesus' prayer on the cross, tell me that God has found a way to forgive us. I have personally been hurt by people before they did not put me on the cross or kill me. But I know how hard it was to forgive them. I still know it takes time for me to forgive those who killed my joy, my pride, who have killed little parts of who I am. Then how can Jesus ask God to forgive them while they were still in the act of sinning against him and afflicting pain on him? So what does God mean to forgive? The word in Greek is aphiami, with the basic meaning of to send away, to cancel, remit, or pardon. Lord, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus uses the word aphiami in the context of depth. And forgive us our trespasses or debts, as we forgive those who trespass against us. He is speaking of sin as a debt owed to God, which must be paid. The Lord's Prayer asks God to cancel our debts, as we cancel others' debt of sin. In the parable of the unforgiving servant, Jesus illustrates the concept of forgiveness in terms of financial debt owed to a king. As Jesus begins his last phase on his life, dying on the cross, hung between heaven and earth, looking at all those who crucified him, looking at me and you, because we too would have probably been there in that crowd. He sees how pitiful we really are. So he prays for all of us who put him there. Christ stands with his arms stretched wide open, pulls his head up, and looks to his Father with the intimacy of his love and the authenticity of his sonship, and prays, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Let us bow our heads in a little prayer. Yes, Father, forgive us. We really didn't know the depths of to which we have fallen. And we are just coming to realize the depths of the love you have for us and have always had. Cancel our debts, Lord, of sin to you, we pray, not because we deserve it, but out of your great mercy revealed by the cross. We ask all this in the name of our Lord and Jesus, who died on the cross to bring salvation for you and me. Amen.